the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus today, who describes for us the rich man and Lazarus, calls us to do this very thing. Listen to the word of God now while you are still alive. After you die, it's too late. You know, when you get up in the morning, like me, you probably splash cold water on your face to wake you up. Kind of a bracing wake-up call. With the Lord Jesus Christ in this text, describing Abraham, the rich man, and Lazarus, is giving us a bracing call to listen to the word of God now, while we are here on this earth. The good reason that you come to church is to hear the word of God with your ears and your heart. Your children are in Sunday school, and you study the word of God so it comes into your heart, and you are prepared for the Lord Jesus' return. Remembering the Sabbath day means we are resting in the word of God. Let us rest in the word of God and be not like the rich man, but like Lazarus. So we have the word of God in the Bible. Now is the time to listen. Now is the time to believe and obey the word of Jesus. So let's first look at the rich man and Lazarus, unbeliever and believer. Then let us look at Abraham's side, which is heaven, and Hades, which is hell, the place of torment. Then consider the word of God in the Old and New Testament. And finally, are all of us listening to the word of God with our ears and our mind and our heart? The rich man and Lazarus, unbeliever and believer. We look at the rich man first. The rich man in our text was an unbeliever. He didn't need God. He didn't want God. He is unnamed. He's just another narcissist. He's clothed in purple with fine linen. He feasts sumptuously every day. And he didn't even give crumbs to the poor man laid at his gate. We're called to love the Lord our God and love our neighbor as ourselves. He loved neither the Lord, nor did he show mercy to this neighbor. He was an unbeliever and had no need for God. Whereas Lazarus is a believer. He desperately needed God. He was poor. Now he is named. He is known by God. His name is Lazarus, which is the Greek form of Eleazar, which is Hebrew, which means my God is my help. That's what his name means. My God is my help. He is known by God. He has a name from God, unlike the rich man. Yet he is covered with sores. The only ones showing mercy to him are the dogs who are licking his sores. He wanted, desired just a few scraps that fell from the rich man's table and received none. Unbelievers and believers today. An unbeliever is someone who does not need God, who does not need Jesus, has no repentance, no faith, and no good works. God does not know that person's name. But a believer is someone who does need God, who does need Jesus, who has repentance, has faith, has good works, and God knows their name. In fact, the triune God has placed his name on their name in holy baptism. They are his saints. He knows their name. He calls them by name, and they believe. God's name is placed upon you. And you, like Lazarus, have a name, saint, righteous in Christ. God calls you to have a faith like Lazarus. Whether you be poor or rich, you desperately need God, and you need Jesus to survive. That is a believer. And that's what we're called to be through faith in Christ. But then Jesus talks about the fate of both the rich man and Lazarus. And first he talks about heaven, Abraham's side, the place of rest for Lazarus. Lazarus died and is carried by the angels into heaven. And the reason why heaven is called Abraham's side, Abraham is the father of all those who live by faith in the grace of God. He is our father when we trust in Christ, when we, like him, have faith and the righteousness that Christ gives us. Abraham and all the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Judah. That's the line of Christ. That's Jesus' ancestry. Lazarus is in Abraham's side in heaven, a place of cool water where he is comforted, and there's a chasm to keep hell away from heaven forever. Heaven, the place of the saints and the angels, is where Lazarus is with Abraham. Hell is the opposite. The rich man died and he's buried. No angels bear him. And now, all of a sudden, he wants God's mercy. He never showed mercy to Lazarus, but now he's giving orders to Abraham and to God. He's in Hades, in torment. He's in anguish in the flames. He has gotten what he deserved. He showed no mercy. He gets no mercy. It's called judgment. It's called condemnation. And there's a chasm that keeps heaven far away from there. Heaven and hell today. Hell means separation from God forever in agony. Heaven is being present with God forever in joy. When people here on earth say, God, I don't want you in my life, then in hell they will not have him forever. When people here on earth want the love and the peace that is found in Christ here on earth, they will have it in heaven forever. The joy that the saints know knows no end. So we are called like Lazarus to trust Christ, desperately clinging to him, knowing that we will too be in Abraham's side with all the saints and the angels in heaven. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will use the gospel to bring other people to faith, because when we say Jesus saves us, we mean he saves us from hell and brings us safely into heaven. But if we're going to know about heaven, we only know it from the Word of God, the written Word of God that is proclaimed to us. Now the rich man, the Word of God wasn't enough for him. He wants someone to go back to his five brothers and to warn them about the place of torment by coming back to life and going back and warning people. He has already rejected the word of God, but he wants a special sign to go back to his brothers. Abraham says, no. They have the written word of God, the Bible. Let them hear that word. The rich man continues to argue. No, send someone from the dead to convince them by this miracle. But Abraham says, no. Unless they believe Moses and the prophets, that is the word of God, they won't believe if they see a miracle. The same thing is true today. God has given us Moses and the prophets, the Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi. Jesus knew the same 39 books of the Old Testament that you and I have, that were read in the synagogue each Saturday. You heard an Old Testament lesson from Amos today, and we sang a psalm. Listen to these words in the divine service that you hear from the Old Testament. Take it to heart. But we also have Jesus and the apostles, the 27 books of the New Testament, the Gospels, the book of Acts, the epistles, and Revelation. Every week you hear from one of the epistle lessons and one of the Gospels that was read today, the apostolic witness to the death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were eyewitnesses of his glory. Every divine service, listen with your ears, with your head, with your heart, to the Word of God, and don't expect some other sign, because the Word of God is sufficient. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God, and praise God, the gospel is still proclaimed to all the nations. So we ask ourselves, am I listening to the word of God now? The word of God has come to you your whole life. In 1 Timothy, when he talks about overseers, bishops, and pastors provided for you, he says this is a noble task. They've been sent by God to you to manage the congregation, to preach, to teach, to baptize, to absolve, to commune, to rebuke, to exhort. The Lord gives pastors to his churches to proclaim the word of God, not their word, but the word of God. And God's church is what you are in now. The mystery of the Christian faith, you just confessed, we all confessed in the beautiful Nicene Creed, that body of doctrine handed down to us, that we have a clear conscience. We have been justified by grace through faith in Christ's sacrifice for us. And Paul says we have a good standing, great confidence in faith, because that faith is proclaimed. You have faith in your heart in Christ Jesus. You know, the Lord has compassion on us, doesn't he? He is the one that stooped down to take our wounds upon himself. By his stripes, we are healed. He is the one who bore the full weight of our guilt upon the cross. He experienced the torment of hell by saying, my God, why have you forsaken me, so that you would never have to experience hell, because he went through it on your behalf. His word is powerful. His name was placed upon you in water and word in baptism. And he feeds us on this feast of his body and blood under the bread and wine for forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Look to Jesus. Look to the cross of Christ. And there is the proof of God's love for you. He took your place. He kept the law. And he died the death that we deserved. And through his death, we are declared righteous and holy as we believe in that gift. We have forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation in his name now. We are called to believe in Jesus at this time, at this moment, in this place, in your own life now. We never know when we are alive here on earth, when our last day on earth will be. So now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to believe. In conclusion, I read about a Christian man named Bill Fay, who was returning to his home in Denver on Monday, September 10th, 2001. And he was on an American Airlines flight going back to Denver, and he noticed that the flight attendant was trying to break up the ice for all the people in the plane with the wine bottle. And so he got up and offered to help her to do this more safely than with the wine bottle. And while he was there, she saw his concern, and he gave her a gospel tract about the Gospel of John, about Christ's love for her. And a short time later, this man, Bill Fay, talked to the stewardess again, and she says, I don't understand. This is the sixth tract I've received from someone. What does God want from me? And he went into a discussion with her about Jesus as Savior, whom she could trust for everlasting life. It was the very next day, September 11, 2001, that Bill looked up the names of those on the American Flight 11 that crashed first into the World Trade Center. The flight attendant was on that flight. Little did she know the next day would be her last day on earth. Little do we know that this might be the last time we hear a sermon, the last time we hear the gospel read, but we're not afraid. We have already died with Christ in baptism. We are live with him now, and we will live with him in eternity. And so, my friends, consider Lazarus and the rich man. Be like Lazarus. Depend completely on the word of God. Listen to the word of God now. while you are still alive. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.